Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, groomers, hi there. Hello, Susie. What are we doing today? I've lost track.
We're going to have so much fun. We are going to talk about dog grooming and cat grooming and all kinds of other neat stuff. Welcome to episode 264 of the Groom Pod, recorded on August 2nd, 2020, in the year that never ends, in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber Towel, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. Speaking of the Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the Absorber Towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar, like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber Towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. Barbara, this week we're going to have a big old catching up session because we have been away from each other for like 2 weeks and we got to share all of our stuff with everybody who listens to the podcast. We're going to talk about Equus Microtech and Megatech products, and we're going to do a small comparison of vacuum systems. What's new with you, Barbara?
I had a challenging situation yesterday that I resolved in a unique way. It made my day, it made the owner's day, and it was a situation where Yvonne and I worked together to become creative. I'm going to tell you all about little Teddy. I used to have a number of Teddies, like Teddy the Doodle, Teddy the Poodle, Little Teddy, and Asian Teddy. Well, Little Teddy is a little mixed breed, kind of soft, somewhat curly hair, white with brown. He's overweight, so he weighs about 18 pounds. He should weigh about 15 or 12. And he was a rescue. And he's a weird dog. I mean, he's lovable, but he's very suspicious and very weird. And he's a dog that you have to approach with mindfulness and due care at all times, because he can misinterpret your movements or your voice or anything and get snappy. I mean, get defensive. You know what I'm saying?
I call it hyper-reactive.
Yeah, he's hyper-reactive, but he lets us get through the process. In the beginning, he was hard to even lift up, and he does do better from a top kennel rather than a floor kennel where you have a bigger lift. He likes to just be taken out and carried. So anyway, I can't scissor him. I can't scissor his face. I haven't been able to scissor his face. Haven't been able to do his toenails for months. And even the vet took 3 visits to get his toenails. Can you imagine that, Bill? Yvonne gets a little bit creative in the tub. And while he's wet, she manages a couple of snips around his eyes to get the bangs cut.
That's a great technique.
Ultimately, he lands on my table. He seems to trust Yvonne more than he trusts me, probably because I have the scissors, which he doesn't trust at all. And yesterday, she did what she could to him, and then she brings him up on my table for me to use the trimmer and comb on his body, which he will allow. And then I want to trim his feet, right? I bring out my nicest, smallest, smoothest, most quiet, tiny scissors to scissor his feet, and he gives me the side-eye look. You know, years ago, I tried putting a muzzle on him, and he just had a meltdown. We can't do that. He'd die. I'm trying to scissor his feet, and I tried from one side, and I tried from another side, and I feel it building up inside of me. The I can't do this, fuck this. I've done what I can. I can't do this, Doc. And then Yvonne says, he seems to tolerate the tremor. Oh, she's talking to the dog. She says, oh, Teddy, I think you like the trimmer better than the scissors. And it went bingo in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo. My 80-year-old mind had a moment. It widely opened. My 80-year-old desiccated brain reached for the stars. And I said, I'm going to see what I can do just using the trimmer. And the truth is, I have secretly been watching barbering videos,
yeah,
and admiring how the barbers use their trimmers and how they use that tool and how they make these straight lines and how comfortable they are just using the trimmer. So I said, well, look it. So I just went around his feet. You know how we're shown to cup the bottom of the foot and then use the 40 blade and just chop it off?
That's what I do.
Yeah, well, okay, so I was using the 40 blade setting on my wall trimmer, but just cutting the feet on the table.
Yeah?
Just went around the feet like that. I got the feet trimmed. And he let me even trim the tops of his toes using the trimmer. And then I went around him. He won't let me go down his front legs. I went down the front. He was standing. She was keeping him calm and still, and I just went down the legs and I made perfect little tubes, and then I approached the face, and damn, that dog let me clipper trim his face. I didn't clipper his face. I just used the clippers to cut and trim his little face and his little ears. I edged them just freehand.
Would you say you were skimming, kind of? Skimming off?
You could call that skimming.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, and I have run into groomers many, many, many years ago who did a lot of their, what I would do as scissoring, as skimming with a 7 blade.
Yeah.
Well, I made a few awful mistakes trying out that technique. But here I am back again now with my Figura and on the 40 blade setting, and just, I made nice straight lines. Now, I couldn't go fluff it back up with the comb, because that's one of the things he doesn't let us do. But I really finished him well, so much, and especially around his face, that I haven't been able to do it all. I got under his chin.
Oh,
I got
nice.
Everything, just not trying to go anywhere near his face with scissors. I did it all freehand, skimming with the trimmer, and by God, it's a technique. By God, his owner, I knew she would be happy, but she was just like joyous. She was just like joyously happy.
I love that innovation.
I love that I was able to go there, Susie. I love that at my age, I was able to make this leap. It, you know, like instead of like hunkering down to my 50 years of grooming techniques, I just went outside my box.
Good job.
I said, I'm just going to barber this dog. And I did it.
Nice work.
And so we'll be working on that technique.
That is really quite an interesting concept, just skimming with a trimmer.
It's just funny because you would think that the trimmer's making their noise, even though my silver bullet is very quiet. You would think that scissors would be less daunting, but something has happened to this dog in his past or in his imagination with scissors that it's a deal breaker totally. We laughed and laughed with his owner because she said, I was so unhappy bringing him here. I just hate that he causes you guys so much grief. And I just almost canceled the appointment. I said, no, we're committed. Who would have known? Who would have ever guessed that August the 1st, 2020 was a happy day because of little Teddy.
Oh, that's
and
super cool.
And she just went out all beaming and happy and jubilant, and it was terrific.
I got to ask you about a thing that popped up on Facebook, and that was a little text message tete-a-tete you had with a client.
Oh, well, you know, I used to have an assistant named Dave Fernandez, and Dave always, every time we would lose a customer, Dave would say, "They'll be back." this was a customer that I disappointed. She tried to reach me by voicemail, and my voicemail was full. Thanks a lot to my pharmacy. I'm going to have to opt out of the voicemail part of my messages because they fill up my voicemail and then my customers can't leave me one, even though I've tried to train them to text, not voicemail. But she couldn't reach me by voicemail. She probably took a couple of days to do that. And then she texted me last Saturday afternoon when I was already kind of shut down and on my weekend. And, of course, Sundays I do not respond. If I responded to every single text and every single call at the moment that I got them, I would never rest. I have to have at least one day off of that scheduling. The goddamn scheduling is taking more out of me than the actual grooming. You know, like, oh, no, I got to reschedule this one now. Okay, so anyway, I got back to her. She texted me on Saturday. I got back to her on Monday and offered her an appointment, and she wrote, "Oh, sorry, I already went elsewhere. You know, I got worried that you weren't in business anymore," she says to me. "Well, yeah, no, I'm very much in business, and I told you. But never mind." I said, "Oh, sorry I disappointed you."
Yeah.
"I apologize. You know, I apologize," which is just like the right thing to do when you clearly fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? So I apologized to her briefly. I didn't dramatize it. I did nothing. I just said, "Sorry I disappointed you." And then she gets back to me yesterday morning, and she said, "Yeah, well, I knew you were a good groomer, but I didn't know how really very good you were. And I took Annie somewhere else, and she got a horrible haircut." And I said, "Mwah!" No, and I said, "Oh." She said, "And we'll be back when we get back." And I said, "Oh, looking forward to grooming Annie." Oh, I'm so sweet.
Yes,
looking
you are.
"Looking forward to grooming Annie when you get back. And I promise not to gloat." Gloat, 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 gloat. Put it on Facebook. Gloat, gloat, gloat some more.
I love it. Well, hey, did you see that really cool trophy that we got from the educators in the grooming industry thing?
Yeah, the little lotus flower. Little crystal lotus. It's beautiful.
I have to ask you a special favor, though. Would it be okay? Because, you know, it's really for both of us. It's for the groom pod. But would it be okay?
Well, you can keep it.
Can I? I'd like that.
Yes, please.
Okay, cool.
No, it never entered my brain that I was going to ask for that. No, I got the big one.
You do. It's true. It's true.
You know, I got mine. I got the super one. And that's a lovely little crystal one. And it's the groom pod. And you're the groom pod. And I want you to keep it.
Okay, cool. I put it in my china cabinet. It's in there with some of my other special glasses, trophies, and stuff. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's Best Shot Pet. BestShot.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how BestShot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, BestShot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, BestShot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some BestShot today. I love them. Look out. Here it comes. It's your mobile moment. I have to tell you a secret. Now, don't tell anybody, right? It's just between you and me and 5,000 other people, okay?
You and me in the pack.
I cheated on my husband.
What'd you do?
I'll tell you what I did. I know, after everybody gets back off the floor and, you know, takes a drink of water and wakes themselves back up. Here we go. This is Adventures in Mobile Grooming, a brief visit. I ripped the tongue off of my 14-year-old trailer. Then exactly 30 days later, I sheared the hub off the wheel of my trailer. Upon getting the trailer back, 4 days later, I sheared the hub off of my Explorer, my tow vehicle.
Oh, God.
I know, but luckily, I am a girl of many backups. So I actually have a backup tow vehicle also. I have a little Explorer. And I have a backup generator, but it's a pull start, and my shoulder is already ripped to shreds, and I'm trying not to use the pull start. So I called my husband over, and we moved the electric start generator over to the small Explorer. I call it the little Explorer that could, because it's a two-door Explorer that has 238,000 towing miles on it, and it's still towing and going like the little engine that could. So we call that the little Explorer that could. The other Explorer, who has the sheared off hub, is fancy because it is a very fancy Explorer. It's practically a Lincoln. It's so fancy. So I have the two versions, the little two-door and the big gigantic fancy Explorer. So the little Explorer that could now has the generator in it, right? We order the parts for the hub for the other Explorer, who my husband and our friend are going to have to put the hub on, and that's fine. But he's all loaded up with dryers to repair and the hub on my Explorer to fix and locate the parts for. And I go off to work, all happy, you know, with my little Explorer that could, into downtown Seattle, where I'm grooming a dog on a boat at a boat launch where there's a bunch of homeless people. And it's a generator stop. And I'm down there. I get my spot next to all the people in their campers with the poop outside their doors. It's such an adventure. And the lady brings the dog in, and I start my generator up. And I didn't think about checking the gas. So I'm working away, get the dog washed and dried, still clipping the dog, and my generator dies. So I call the lady up on the phone, and I say, "Don't panic. I must have forgot gas in my generator. I'm going to go to the gas station and fill it. So I'm going to take Louie with me. I'll put him in the car seat and we'll be right back. Don't panic when you look out and don't see the trailer." And she's like, "Oh, sorry about that. No problem." So I pile Louie in the car and we drive over to the gas station, and I open the back of the Explorer and I undo the gas tank, and gas starts pouring out of my carburetor all over the back, just dumping gas all over the back of the Explorer. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I quickly turn the gas shutoff valve and the gas stops. So obviously I've got a stuck float or something worse going on with my carburetor. I finish the dog with my trimmers, my portable light, and my scissors. I told her what happened. She said the dog looked great. I thought it looked, I don't know, hypercritical Susie. Meanwhile, the police are pulling up and rousting the homeless people. My door's wide open because I have no lights. It was just crazy, crazy talk. So I pile back in my car and I think about the rest of the day, and I have two other stops, but they're stops I can plug in. I'll only have 15 amps, but it's so hot out, it doesn't matter whether I use two motors on my canine two or just one. The dogs are going to dry no matter what. I probably blow on them and they would dry. It was so hot here. So I get home that night and I'm thinking, He's got all this stuff to deal with. My Mr. Fixer, my husband, has all this stuff to deal with. I don't even want to tell him that my generator has died. I don't want to load that on him. I can't do it. But I know it's dead. And I'm sitting across from him and we're watching TV and he's telling me how he's getting all this stuff down, got the parts ordered. And all I can think of is, oh my God, my generator's dead. Oh my God, my generator's dead. Do I tell him? Do I tell him? I have the other generator, but I don't want to pull start it. And it'll out the fact that my generator's not working if I ask him to move the other one in. So I make it through the evening and I get up the next morning and I decide I'm going to cheat. And I'm going to go to the power store where they repair power equipment for the lawnmower guys. And I'm going to take my generator in there. And I'm not going to tell my husband that it's broken. So I go in there. The guy knows me because I've asked him a few questions. Plus, he disposes of my broken generators for us. Because what do you do with a broken generator? Well, he takes them and splits them up for parts. So I went in there and I said, I confess my sins. I need you to fix this carburetor. I'm cheating on my husband. Don't call the house, whatever you do. And he goes, no problem. I'll have it fixed by 2 p.m. And sure enough, at 12 o'clock, I got a phone call. He had fixed the carburetor and I could come and pick it up 2 hours after I dropped it off. And it was less than $100. I was so grateful. But I cheated on my husband. So there you go.
I bet someday you tell him.
Oh, I'll probably tell him pretty quick. We'll have a moment and I'll confess my sins. But still, I felt horrible doing it because he could fix it. I wouldn't have spent that $100, but I couldn't load one more thing on it. He just couldn't take one more thing that broke in such a short period of time.
You made a good choice. You know, like, there's no sense breaking them down. You know, you need to, take care of the load on a fix-it guy like that.
I know
it. It's special, you know. You can't be too careful. They'll break down and nothing will get fixed.
Very true. The really cool thing is I then went on vacation on the boat. James took the Explorer while we were gone and put the hub on. So I wasn't expecting it, but just before we started to record this podcast, I got a text message that he was bringing it back over and everything was done. I'm so grateful to have the Big Explorer because, truthfully, the air conditioning works much better in the Big Explorer than it does in the little Explorer that could.
So you're all set up with your best equipment again, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. Crisis over.
So I had a good vacation, though. I went on the boat. I put some pictures up. It was interesting. It was a new wrinkle for me because normally it's my boat and all the rest of the people are using it. Now it's somebody else's boat and I get to use it along with the rest of the people. And of course, you know, as life goes, we spilled pink fizzy water on the white quilt. I couldn't wash it because it's a handmade quilt. So I dropped the dinghy key in the water. Luckily, it was low tide and I was able to dive in and get it because I would have been trapped on the other side of the water. And then I made a ding in one of the tables that I don't know if I did or if somebody else did. I have never been so worried about taking care of somebody's stuff in my life. I totally get it. And I was so easygoing with all of our stuff, but everybody was always so worried. Oh, I broke a light. I'm like, no problem. Now the shoe is on the other foot and I get what it's like, and it's nerve-wracking to use somebody else's stuff.
I don't mind as long as somebody says, I broke the da-da-da. I run into house cleaners and, you know, that kind of thing, but they don't want to say that. So then they say, the lamp broke.
Right?
It broke. You know, hello? It just like slugged itself or something?
My husband was laughing because I totally had diarrhea of the mouth. I gave him a story that was 10 minutes long of how we spilled the pink fizzy water on the... I could have just said I spilled pink fizzy water on the quilt, but no, I had to tell him every moment, play by play, of how it spilled.
You tried to obscure the slice of truth that was the most painful, that's all.
I did, with some bells and whistles, a little tap dancing, and some side music.
Yeah, I know.
But I confessed it all.
That's my suit!
That's right. So I want to take a moment here and do a little housekeeping. We had 2 donations this week. We had an actual donation of $100 from Marianne Mosky. Woo-hoo! And we have a new Patreon PAC member, Laura Judy, at $10 a month. Thanks to both of you guys. We appreciate it so very much.
Oh, yes, more than you can ever imagine.
And now, how about some grooming talk? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our first and only appointment of the day, which is a vacuum system comparison. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Okay, Barbara, here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to take the major manufacturers and just kind of review the systems. And then when we're done, we'll talk about the differences, because it's really the differences between these that make the most difference. And we've all used all kinds of different systems between the two of us, so we should have some good opinions on this. So what we're talking about here are ClipperVac type systems. I use the word ClipperVac because Marlene was really the first commercial putter-outer of the vacuum systems for the dogs, but Ron Popeil actually had a human version way back in like the 60s or early 70s for human hair that was on TV, and I remember seeing the, it was called the Flo-Bee, and it would
the
just
Flo-Bee.
So anyway, Marlene engineered with her husband, ex-husband now, the ClipperVac, basically a vacuum system that attaches to your clippers and sucks the hair away from the dog while you're clipping. So with her, she has a portable version that they call the ClipperVac Tote. And then they have multi-stations units from two to like, I don't know, they can put 12 systems, I think, in the big places. They have quite a wide variety of systems available and very customizable. The house call version they call the Tote weighs 27 pounds. And that's what I carry in and out of houses when I do house call. And that's what I use under my table as well. The next guy who put out a system was the, let's call him the king of knockoffs. And that's Curtis Hanvey. And he came up with the HairVac by Hanvey. And he is good about taking other people's ideas and then tweaking them and engineering them and making them even a little bit better. Hanvey used to have a small version that you could carry in and out of the house called the TaxiVac. But I went on the website and I'm not seeing the TaxiVac being made anymore. He just has three bigger station sizes that hang on the wall, but I didn't see a portable one. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if he stopped that or what. But he also has a variety of stations and customization available for bigger salons down to, you know, just somebody who's working by themselves. Just doesn't have that portable version anymore, I don't think. The cool thing about Curtis's system is he also has an adapted system for a shop vac. So it's just like a hose and connector that you can use with any shop vac. That's kind of a nice thing to have. I did not see that on Marlene's site. The third and other bigger manufacturer that does it is the iVac. The iVac also attaches to a shop vac, but it's this really nifty clipper head combination clipper dealy that's different than the other two. So, Barbara, what is the system that you use?
Okay, I use a hybrid, a mixed breed system. I use the iVac clipper, which has the vacuum hose is like built into the clipper, so it's not attached to. And I find that easier on my wrist. And I have a handy canister.
Okay.
That I use. And I originally had a handy, it was a two-station Hanvi, but the ductwork up on top has a right angle in it that is subject to clog at the ceiling level. But the iVac hose is so long, and I never shortened it, that we can kind of move it between two tables in the back if I have to. Or I have even moved it from the back room to my table in the front room that's not too far from the door between the two rooms. So I like the Hanvi canister because it has a variable speed connection there. And that's one of the problems with using your shop vac. You can get, and I would say, Harbor Freight. You don't have to spend a whole lot. Boy, always look at Harbor Freight before you go to the bigger, more well-known stores for this kind of stuff. You can get a variable speed that plugs into any plug, and so you can just like plug your shop back into that, and then you can vary the speed on your homemade little system there. I have not used a full Romani clipper. I have used the Hanvi attached clipper attached, and I used that for a number of years, but it started wearing out. Oh, I used to put rubber bands as kind of whatever you call it. What do you call that?
Well, he has whiskers. He uses whiskers in the slidey thing, the adapter, the plate adapter that holds the head on the top.
Yeah.
And oftentimes rubber bands substitute for those pretty well.
Yeah, that's where I would use the rubber bands. And that worked, but it just got to be kind of wonky and so on and so forth. And I didn't want to, and so I went for, and by that time, there was a short period of a few years where I was selling Laube stuff, and I got my iVac on, you know, wholesale price or whatever, which was never all that good with Laube, but it was a break. So that's where I am.
One of the major differences that I've noticed between them all is how you get the hair out. So with the clipper vac systems, you actually get the hair out on the side. So with the one that sits on the floor, which is rectangular, I drop a little hatch off of the front of it, and I reach in and I pull the hair out and put it in the garbage. The Hairmaster systems from Hanvi empty from the bottom. Does yours empty from the bottom?
Yeah, it empties from the bottom, and where I have it mounted on the wall, it's just perfect that I can slide the large trash can under the bottom and just snap open the bottom and all the hair comes out and we get it that way.
And for me, I have nowhere to mount anything, so the tote works perfectly because I just slide it in and out underneath my table and I can put my foot up on it and rest a foot, you know, like it's a tiny ottoman underneath my table. Because everybody needs a place to put your foot.
Well, everybody does need a place to put your foot, and that is underscored by one of my physical therapists that told me that I should always have places at my table, standing or sitting, where I can rest my foot. It's good for your back.
You mentioned the variable speed on the Hanvi systems and the shop vac ability to plug into a variable speed. That is so important, and you don't realize it when you're starting out, because that's how you determine how much suction you have at the clipper head. Now, that is a place where the Hanvi and Romani systems vary tremendously, and I personally much favor the Hanvi system over the Romani system up at the clipper head. The Curtis's system, the Hanvi system, is an open-mouthed attachment that slides into basically a track that you can slide backward and forward on the clipper head. It has a very wide opening, so mats don't get trapped in there. Occasionally, mats get trapped in the clipper vac version of the system. But with Curtis's, I rarely get a mat. And if I do get a mat, I just grab it out of that big head and throw it away in the garbage. It doesn't get trapped farther up the line. I appreciate that very much. I also really like the way you can slide the clipper head away and reduce the suction right at the head. If you're getting track marks, using combs, things like that, if you back off on the suction, that's helpful. Now, on the Romani system, you have a little flap that covers a hole, and you can open the flap to various degrees. And then you also have, on some of the older systems, I think at the attachment to the clipper vac itself, a little bit of a hole or not a hole up there. What does the IVAC have? You've got the variable speed, right? That's how you do that?
The IVAC, which, by the way, the clipper itself has, is a two-speed.
Okay.
So that gives you various, although I almost always use the higher speed. You know what? We do that when we could actually, there's a lot of kind of lighter type coats that we could do just fine using the lower speed. The IVAC has a little window with a thumb slide that you can open and close right on the clipper. And so I actually have two ways that I can reduce or increase the suction. I can either change it at the canister and crank it up, which I don't usually do unless there's mats or unless the clipper gets clogged. Then I crank it up to high suck and try to suck stuff through. But mostly, you know, like mostly I use it at very, very low suction. I don't like to use too much suction because I think that's when I create more kind of lines and things that I don't like to see on the coat, track marks and that kind of thing. It just kind of tends to gouge into the hair a little unpredictably with extreme suction. So I recommend, if you're new to clipper vac, that you start with minimum amount of suction and work your way up rather than the other way around.
I use maximum suction only a few spots. I do a lot of skimming on breeches of, you know, like, I don't know, golden retrievers. I'll skim. And I use full suction to suck that hair away so that I can shape the butt of the dog with my clippers. That's one of the places. Also, when I do feet with a 40 blade and full suction, and I just whack it off the bottom. It's another spot where I use full suction. But otherwise, I vary it quite a bit. Another interesting difference between all three of these systems is the angle and location at which the hose is attached to the clipper. I find that the Romani clipper attachment is a little close to the clipper body and I can only hold it one direction, whereas the Hanvi attachment, it's a little bit less of an angle so that I can actually flip the clipper over, hold the attachment, and clip upside down by holding the attachment with the clipper upside down. And I love to do that, and I use that technique all the time, but I can't do that with the Romani system. What about the IVAC? It comes out the back, so you can't, so you, it doesn't matter, right? You can flip your clippers pretty easily.
Yeah, it's just like using a regular clipper. You can use it either way, upside down or regular. It's just a little bit fatter than a regular clipper, but it's not particularly heavy, and that has to do with the attachment to the hose and all of that. I find that for me, the IVAC gives the least resistance to my hand and wrist of any of them. And that's one reason that I've been, you know, stuck with that. And you do need to give your IVAC clipper a tune-up every now and then. If it starts not performing well, it's probably that your blade driving or latch or something needs replacement, and you need to do a little tune-up.
Which brings us to the what does Susie have portion of the show. So what I have ended up using, and now for many, many years, and I'm extremely happy with it, is a ClipperVac tote with a Handy adapter kit. Curtis Handy sells an expensively priced adapter kit that you can use on either, like I said before, the shop vac. It's a different kit for the shop vac, but also one that goes into the clipper vacs so that you can have the really nice head attachment and the easy under the table storage for me and combine the two. And it's just worked fantastic for me. And I'm really, it is a matter of preference for me. I'm not used the IVAC because I don't have the access to the parts for that very easily. You know, I would end up sending away instead of just driving 9 miles from my house and picking up parts for my clipper. So I prefer the Andis 5-speed, which is super light and doesn't hurt my hands. And then Curtis's attachment so that the angle is less steep and I can flip it over, and it works for me. But for everybody listening, it is such a personal thing that I advise you to reach out to your grooming friends and ask them if you can try their system, if they've got one or the other, and go out and get your hands on them, because that's going to be the best way to make a choice. The other thing is, if you're at a show, you might have the opportunity to see several different ones. If we ever have shows again, oh my goodness.
My goodness. Yeah, right.
Yes.
All right. Maybe 2022.
Let's hope. Okay. Let's take another quick break here and we will come back with our other segment today, which is our back to school segment, all about Equus, Mega, and Microtech.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grime time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
I have a feeling this is going to be fun. Tell us about these two products.
I will tell you about these two products. I used the Equus products for quite some time. I used to like the shampoo. I used to use the Microtech as my go-to medicated shampoo. And I have used the Megatech in a few critical moments, and we've got some kind of mixed results. The company makes me mad.
Oh my, is this really an Angry Bird segment?
Well, this is a somewhat angry bird. Yeah, I am an angry bird. And the thing that makes me mad is that ingredient information is hard to come by. Well, it's not hard to come by. You can find ingredient information, but you're going to find ingredient information that contradicts itself.
Oh.
I got a list of Microtech of two different websites. Okay, the company no longer posts on their company website. They no longer take responsibility for listing their ingredients. They let you find it by way of their distributors. And what happens is that they've changed some of their ingredients and some of the ways they list their ingredients, and they don't, that is not necessarily reflected on every distributor's page. I don't think they keep after their distributors. I think they send them a letter, but they don't say, please update your website information. So you get conflicting information. And one of the things about the Microtech that is disturbing, okay, Angry Bird disturbing, is that their active ingredient of the Microtech is triclocarbon. Now, triclocarbon has been, let me read you this, from the FDA, I'm going to read you what the FDA, our FDA says. Triclocarbon is used to kill bacteria. It was previously, this is a 1918 faction, it was previously a common ingredient in bar soaps labeled as antibacterial.
Did you say it was a 1918?
I mean a 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not 1918. Sorry.
God darn it,
back
Barbara.
In 1918, when I was first grooming.
That's right.
No, I'm not that old. Okay. Okay, so the truth is, I don't have a date on this triclocarbon fact sheet, but it's a few years old. Triclocarbon is used to kill bacteria. It was a previously common ingredient in bar soaps labeled as antibacterial or antimicrobial. But this use was banned by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration as of September 2017. This is because there are no extra health benefits of using soap with triclocarbon compared to ordinary soap, and the wide use of antibacterials poses health concerns. Some other personal care products like cosmetics, as well as some clothing and pet grooming sprays, may still contain triclocarbon. Now you can look down a little bit and you can see possible health concerns for triclocarbon may interfere with the body's natural hormones, may make it harder for antibiotics to fight infections. This is because overuse of triclocarbon and other antibacterials may cause changes in bacteria that make them harder to kill. Well, what Equus did is that the same information pretty much goes for triclosan, which was the original antimicrobial in Equus shampoo. So when triclosan got kind of run out of Dodge, they switched to triclocarbon, figuring that we wouldn't recognize it as also banned by the FDA. I don't know. I don't know why they did that. And they're from 1-800-PetMeds.com. Microtech Equine Shampoo, I can't find the pet shampoo on that website, contains 0.2% triclocarbon. That's 0.2%. It's not a lot. I'm sure that it's in there to be an antibacterial that deodorizes, that kills bacteria. It serves a similar purpose that other kind of generic, well, we used to have a few so-called medicated shampoos that use triclosan. And so this is their version. Now, the good news about Equus Microtech is that it contains several, more than one, at least three. I'm looking at the ingredients right. Four. It contains moisturizing ingredients, which are good. Sodium PCA, glycosaminoglycans, aloe vera, and allantoin. So those are all good moisturizing ingredients, which will help a distressed skin situation. But I just can't oblige the triclosan, and I cannot handle getting conflicting information about ingredients. From Tractor Supply website, my Kotek shampoo contains soy amidopropylamine. Wait a minute, I'm going to say this for you. Soy amidopropyl dimethylamine oxide.
Wow.
But from 1-800 Petmans, that's not in there.
Huh.
And so in 1-800 Petmans, which I tend to trust a little bit more being up to date, they're listing the basic cleanser, by the way, of Equus Microtech is sodium laureth sulfate. And that's a good choice. Capril glucoside. Well, okay. So that's a carbohydrate kind of whatever ingredient, moisturizing ingredient. And another thing that the product Microtech has that I'm not too enthusiastic about is clove extract. You know, now they're not calling it clove essential oil, so maybe it's just ground clove tea. You know what I'm saying? Clove essential oil is not a good skincare essential oil. It has some contraindications for health. That's my mixed message about the Microtech.
Okay.
It's not a bad shampoo, but it's got an active ingredient that's banned by the FDA. It has a healthy amount of moisturizing ingredients in it, and it contains a herbal extract of which I don't approve. Okay, so there we go. Now let's look at the Megatech. Megatech Rebuilder. Now, this is an interesting thing because in my original ingredient list, one of the first ingredients after the water was hydrolyzed keratin protein. So I was, for many years, operating from the assumption that the product was loaded with a protein, a hydrolyzed keratin protein. And we do know that it was basically a protein product.
Okay.
That was going to be healing and helping the skin barrier function and hooves and all of that other stuff. And then what happened, though, is that now I look at the Megatech Rebuilder at the Stateline TAC website.
Yeah.
And they say new formula. And in this lineup, the hydrolyzed protein has dropped to the last quarter of the ingredients. It's dropped to the back of the list after panthenol, after vitamin E. You know, so like, what's going on there? Well, I can tell you what's going on there because I also found a letter that I got several years ago. That it's an undated letter, so I can't remember how many years ago.
Okay.
But in this letter from Equus, it says, in order to satisfy labeling requirements for Europe and Australia, we have changed some of the names of the ingredients listed on our labels to inky names, which are accepted internationally, blah, blah, blah. Now, the order in which some ingredients listed on our label has changed as well. Whoa, right? That's
right.
Exactly what we just saw. That's exactly what I was just talking about. What happened? The protein jumped from the top ingredient to closer to the bottom. Huh. They are now listed in descending order by percentage of each ingredient in the product.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah. This is also required for grooming products in Europe and Australia. So, you know, like in the United States, anything that's 1% or less of your volume in the bottle can be listed in any order. And actually, they say, please note that in the United States, animal products are not required by law to even have an ingredient listing. the order of the ingredient listing is not regulated either. That's the truth, and the company that most takes advantage of that is Chris Christensen. However, we have always listed our ingredients so that the consumer knows exactly what is in each of our products, but not necessarily how much is in each of our Angry Bird, Angry Bird, Angry Bird.
Yep.
So do you get it?
I get it.
This is why, overall, my review of Equus, Microtech, and Megatech is Angry Bird.
I get it.
I am more pissed off than I am impressed.
Right.
You know, and another thing, the only protein that I now see in the Megatech Rebuilder is hydrolyzed keratin protein, which is an animal-derived product. Get real, dude.
Well, there you have it. Tie a bow on it and send it in the mail. It's done. Okay, Barbara, it's been so great to catch up with you because I just miss it when we don't do this. Even though I was having the time of my life on the boat because I do love the boat.
Oh, and the pictures were so refreshing. I just sat there in my 90-degree studio and gazed at that water and just felt it. Felt it, Susie. I felt it.
Well, that beautiful picture of the sunset on the dock and that's where my mom's ashes are, is right where I was standing there. So that's the view she sees every day.
I want to just sit on that dock and just like dangle my feet.
Yes.
Breathe that fresh air. God, it's so fucking hot in Tucson, Arizona. It's unbearable.
I wish I could send you a big walk-in cooler to sleep in. How's that? That's what I'd like to send you.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. But, the refrigerated truck pulls up in my driveway and everybody gets worried that there's going to be cadavers in there. No, it's just Barbara's bed. Hey, listen, I treated myself to some this week before I knew exactly how much financial distress I was in. I bought a hand massager.
Oh.
And I'll review it for you next week if you like.
Okay, that sounds good.
I think it's meaningful.
Oh, I do too.
For groomers. And so far, I really like it.
Cool. Well, then let's meet here next week, same time, same station, and do it all over again. How's that? Let's do it.
Okie doke.
Okay, try to stay cool, Barbara. Happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for being here. Support our sponsors, and see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye. Take care of yourselves. Wear those masks. I know you hate them, but wear them anyway. Get a dog mask. Okay, see ya.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.